Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Just a word about the lessons. As you recall, if you were here last week, Pastor Bang explained that we have a preaching schedule, and we prepare it quite a bit in advance. But with Eric's leaving, we had a few adjustments that we had to make. But I had written down in my book that I was to preach last week, and I checked it against the master calendar, and I knew I was correct, and I spent about 4 hours on the sermon. Thursday, our secretary called and said that there was a mistake, that Pastor Bang was preaching last week, and we couldn't switch weeks. Well, you can imagine what went through my mind. So I went right up to Pastor Bang, and I said, "Charlie, I spent a lot of time on this sermon, and I'm really bothered, but I can't preach it this Sunday." He says, "Well, I'll tell you what. I don't want to preach on that text. It's too hard." He said, "So I'll preach on one of the first two, and then we'll use this one next week, which is today." And so I may have bitten off more than I can chew, but the actual lesson for today is even worse than this one. So there you go. Let us begin with a prayer. Lord, help us to become masters of ourselves, so that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with your Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, every time you think that you have a handle on what Jesus said, you come upon a passage like this one in Luke's Gospel that makes you shake your head and say, "Oh my." Now, of course, there are times when biblical stories Missed the mark. Remember, these biblical stories were all written down from memory, often after being repeated many times. Sometimes they vary in the particulars, if not in their essence. There's one story, for instance, of Jesus feeding 5,000 people. There's another story where Jesus feeds 3,000 people. Very likely it's the same event, but written down by authors who had different sources. Nevertheless, this story from Luke might make you scratch your head. Here is a middle management guy who was going to lose his position. To secure his future, he calls in a number of his boss's creditors and finds out how much they owe. He then tells them to write off a big discount. Of course, when the man loses his job, he has some friends out there who owe him big. When his boss finds out about it, he admires the man's smarts and he applauds him. Now, I know that you probably have at least two thoughts popping up in your head. One, what in the world is this story doing in the Bible? And the other is, he must have gotten his training as a politician in Chicago. Well, both of these are probably true in a way. As far as the first thought is concerned, you have heard me point out several times that parts of the Bible are not a book for goody-goodies. All kinds of nasty things happen in the Bible, from David's tryst with Bathsheba to the rule that juvenile delinquents should be stoned at the city gate for misbehaving, to the slaughtering of all the young male children when Jesus was born as Herod attempted to stop a pretender to the throne from surviving, to drowning every person and animal unless you were a lucky pair to make it to the ark or you were related to Noah. This is tough stuff. Not really bedtime reading. I'm all for reading the Bible when you go to bed, but please, please, be selective. I remember talking to a fellow faculty member from Damon College about reading the Bible. He had a 5-year-old boy, and he said he thought it was about time to start reading him the good book. So he started out with Genesis, and the first thing that happens is God throwing Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. His son was very upset. He then moved ahead and came to Cain, killing Abel. The boy started to cry. When he got to the flood, he gave up. The father said, "This is no book for a little kid." And in a sense, he was right. The Bible hits life hard on, head on, deals with it. And this applies to this gospel lesson from Luke. Let me explain, however, a little bit of what was going on culturally and business-wise in the story. It's always important when reading biblical material to get the Zets im Leben, the life situation out of which it comes, because that affects its meaning. Let me give you a quick New Testament example. Remember Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you because my burden is light and my way is easy"? Well, you've read enough, you've seen enough to know that a lot of people who commit themselves to the faith don't find it easy, and the burden is heavy. The text really means that if you take my yoke upon you, it will fit properly, and that will make it easier to carry a big load. If the yoke did not fit the oxen properly, it chafed the animal, and it was in misery and couldn't carry all the burdens that it would be capable of carrying if the yoke fit properly. If you're right with God, you're going to be able to carry a much bigger load than if you aren't right with God. But getting back to this story, You have to realize that the man who was being fired earned his living by adding a surcharge to what his boss's creditors owed him. So, in effect, his boss was not losing all of his money. In the end, he would get almost a net amount. Was what happened when the man did this kosher? No. Did it work? Yes. In fact, the text says the boss was actually admiring what his employee had done. He probably had second thoughts about letting him go. You want smart people working for you. Remember how we recently were all set to dump hedge fund managers, all of them? Well, guess what? They're still at it. An economic professor from Stanford noted this, that last year, 6 hedge fund managers earned $1 billion each. Pretty good for somebody who got caught a few years before that. And then there is this business of being a training exercise for political office. This business of the man, the story of this man and how he managed his affairs. And there's some truth in that, and there are several ways of looking at it. My longtime friend, Fred Emery, whom I went to high school and college with, ended up deeply involved with life in Washington, D.C. Fred was the director of the Federal Register. That's the official publisher of all laws for the United States. And Fred was actually the one responsible for getting legal language changed from its archaic phrasing to a more modern idiom. But before he went to Washington, Fred worked for the state of New York for several years. So you know that he knew more than he should have about political shenanigans. But many years ago, I remember him saying that people do not understand how politics works. When people complain about political machines, they don't realize that you actually need a machine to get things done. A lone ranger is seldom successful in politics. It takes political savvy to make a political system work. That